Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and I am so happy to be here today, especially because my schedule was problematic yesterday, and I had to miss the big show. Patrice, thank you for filling in for me. You rock.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but I missed getting to hang out with all my cool BTN fans. So I'm especially glad I'm here today because here we all are. And with that, Patrice, actually, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's finally looking like it's gonna be more like spring, which I'm really happy about because I hate winter. We're not out of winter yet. Fully, but it's looking more and more like the sun is staying up longer and it's warmer and plants are starting to, like, flowers are starting to grow, all of that. So yeah, it's I'm good. I've had a good week, so
awesome.
I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. And thanks again for covering for me yesterday. And Dave, how are you?
I am doing well. It's always fun to be here on a Friday. And I was saying pre-show, the weather forecasters here just can't seem to get it right. And they sit and say there's going to be lots of snow, 3 to 6, 8 inches, all this stuff. And I just get a dusting on the grass and some wet pavement. So, but I know Ben's going to say more. Just but it's been a busy week. Been getting a lot of stuff done at work, and glad it's Friday. Good thing out
well,
with you guys.
Glad it's Friday. And, you might not have gotten much snow, but at least you didn't get snowed in.
This is true.
Yeah.
I can go out.
And speaking of snowed in, Ben, how's it going?
Well, what Dave didn't get ended up in my driveway.
Yeah.
And I had to shovel it before the show.
You know, that just kind of sucks. And I say that not just like off the cuff, like, oh, that sucks. But as someone that has lived in Colorado for most of their life and has shoveled, at this point, I'm certain, literal tons of snow.
I thought you would say something else about what you shovel.
Well,
an
I mean,
S lady load.
Yeah, a metric butt load. Yeah.
I was more thinking about shoveling other things, but
luckily I have very rarely had to shovel anything darker colored than snow.
Darker.
Oh, I used to have retrievers. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You need a literal shovel for retrievers.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you basically just have to follow them around. They're like horses, but they bark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's just the image I have to get out of my head.
Can you believe that Ewan still lets me host shows? What is up with that?
Or lets us on in general.
I'm convinced that Ewan doesn't actually watch these.
Probably. Yeah.
I know he watches at least some of them. Because he will make comments. Oh, see, Bob Beach is the best.
Yeah.
In the chat room, the show is taking a scatological turn. Yeah.
I can just see you and go like, oh, these wankers.
Yep, Bob, sounds like him.
Bob, if you want, at some point, we could actually go down that rabbit hole, if you will, because as a kid, I had to learn how to identify all the different types around here so that I'd know what animals were around me and if I was safe or not.
Yes. So if you were looking for cougars, you can find them that way.
Ben, you could just go to the bar.
I was waiting for that.
Wow.
Look, Ben set it up. If I didn't knock it out of the park, I would have
been my head right
failing
away when you said
my
that.
Duties.
Oh my God.
Hey Chuck, how are you?
I'm not sure after that. This conversation. Yeah, how do I follow that? It's Friday. My brain is mush. I'm looking. The weather here, since we're talking weather, is going to be completely unpredictable, but there appears to be something falling from the sky pretty much all weekend. So I've booked time in a golf simulator on Saturday to try to clear my head.
Excellent. So golf simulator. Now, I know what a golf simulator is because I have experienced them at CES, and they're pretty cool. But when I'm visualizing it for you, just because I just love this image, it's like Ready Player One. And you have like the whole bodysuit that's tracking all of your movements and giving you tactile feedback. And you have the mask on and you're in your couch. And it's just like epic.
I'm afraid, I hate to ruin your image, but it's not like that at all. Although the simulator does a good job of analyzing your swing and all the important statistics about it. And it's, in fact, I actually prefer it from just practice mode as opposed to, you know, trying to play a virtual course, because that way you get a lot more feedback on what you're doing. But it is kind of amazing when, you know, because there basically is one sensing surface that is tracking everything, and it is surprisingly accurate, because, you know, if you're a golfer, you know what I mean. You know which way after you swing where the ball is going to probably go. It's just a matter of how much. And son of a gun, that thing is accurate 99% of the time. It shows you that, yep, this is a shot you just hit, and that's you know that that's a shot you just hit.
It's very accurate.
That's pretty cool. The golf simulator that I got to play in at CES several years ago, we probably did the same one, because I did, I think, right after Allison Sheridan. And so I took my swing and they analyzed it and they said, well, you certainly have strength, but you have no technique. How much golf do you play? And I said, I've done mini golf. And they just started laughing.
Yeah. Now, did you, Jeff, sorry, we're off track, but hey, here we go. Were you in one that you actually hit the ball, or you just swung like a sensor club?
It hit the ball. So
okay.
It had a backdrop and it was projecting on the backdrop, and then it had the sensors. So you'd hit the ball and the ball would hit the backdrop and fall, but then you'd watch the animated version of your ball continue on.
Right. Yes. Okay.
And I mean, my ball sure went out there, but it didn't go where I had wanted it to. Ben,
don't go there.
Ben. Oh, all right. I'm just going to do a story now.
Let's do it, please.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's do the obligatory one, just so we can say we've done it. Yellow iPhone. Here it comes. Ooh. Actually, as we record, I think it's available for sale.
Yeah, it went live this morning. The store was actually down for a few hours, but they were getting ready for it.
Yeah. All right. So
why do you need to take the store down to add a yellow iPhone?
I know. I don't get it.
Yeah. Patrice, you're going down the path that I'm going down. Hasn't anyone at Apple ever heard of a CMS?
Guess not.
Well, their CMS is probably still written in, what was that?
Vault.
Years ago, I was told by people inside Apple that their whole website, the entire system, database, everything, hand-coded internally.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've said that a number of times.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, as I said, I think written in HyperCard, right?
No, if it's written in HyperCard, you could add more cards without taking the whole site down.
That's true. Yeah, but it was definitely written in some, like, at least partially. I don't know. They might have done a rewrite at some point, but it was at some point written in something really old.
Because, like, of course it was.
Yeah. I mean, that's how long ago they created it.
But, you know, that's consistent with what they do, and it's one more way that they build up a bit of anticipation. And, you know, because we've all done it at some point, you know, whether it was 3 in the morning or 8 in the morning, depending on where you were, you know, when something mm-hmm. was going live, that you're hitting there, refresh, refresh, refresh. And I mean, in a way, it's almost, I guess, a way of avoiding a denial of service attack, because, you know, if you take the store down, there's no point in hitting refresh until it comes back up.
Mm-hmm. And yet we all did.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but it's much simpler. Like the site that they're showing is so much simpler.
Yeah. And now, frankly, I've always, in the last few things I've ordered, I've had a superior effect. I've only really done an order through my iPhone. I don't even pull the website up anymore, because half the time the website doesn't load, but store pops right up.
Yeah. And there's, I think, a relatively simple explanation for that, because I think the website, they do that through CDNs, so it doesn't even hit their servers. And I think that just takes like a little while to get updated all across the world. Whereas the app is mostly a backend call, and that is easier.
Yeah, good point.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So
at least that's my theory. I don't know if it's true.
I like that theory. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. And it sounds completely plausible. So anyhow, yellow iPhone, who ordered theirs?
Oh.
Crickets.
Yeah. I mean, it's the tip. Like, Apple does this every year, and I'm guessing some people order it, because otherwise, why would Apple do that? Like, there must be enough of a push when they release a new color that they keep doing it.
True. If it didn't boost sales, why bother?
Yeah, exactly. And they usually have done either green or red or something.
And you better believe they have done all kind of focus groups and test studies, and, you know, the tracking of who is it? Is it Pantone that designates the color of the year?
Pantone. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, so there are all kind of things that are out there, and, you know, what the fashion world says is going to be the color or colors for this year. I mean, there's so much colored information out there, and, you know, Apple probably has a whole SWAT team dedicated to that, just figuring out what can we put out there that we think will sell. And it will.
Oh, I'm not even sure they went that far. They have really good and tuned in designers in-house. And I think they just know, like, they just have a good feeling for, okay, like, this is a color that I like, and I know that this is something that other people would like too. I don't think they have to, they don't even have to do focus groups or anything on it. I mean, you know, Apple doesn't do focus groups anyway, but I think they just have options, and they just know, because that's what they do all day.
Mm-hmm. And Chuck, you got me thinking, what if Apple has been matching up what they're doing for their spring color with Pantone, and the color research Pantone's doing, and just not saying anything? So of course I did exactly the sort of thing I would do, and I looked up a chart of Pantone color of the year, and this year the color is Viva Magenta 18,
which is not yellow.
No, it's a very magenta color. Last year, it was very peri, which is kind of a periwinkle color. 2021 was a light, cool gray. There is also a yellow, which is actually similar to the iPhone yellow.
Yeah, they're doing seasonal watch bands, for example. So there is clearly people within the like design department who probably deal with just what is the best design, the best color for stuff like that. And it's a spring. I mean, as I said, they've done green, they have done yellow. It's a spring color. They just say, okay, we want to do something for spring. What is a good spring color? Take it from there. As I said, and they're doing that all day anyway. So I said, I mean, I'm not saying there's no thought went into it. Like, probably a lot of thought, and like, which is the perfect yellow. Like, And that we can also produce, which is also a side factor. But I don't think they did a lot of research on what people want and which color is more successful. I think they have a good sense of design and know, like, a really ugly, whatever, yellow is probably not going to fly.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think this will sell really well.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's so sad. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's getting traction. You know, it's mm-hmm. been 6 months since the iPhone was announced, the i14 mm-hmm. was announced. They do this every year. They're always going. I mean, they did it last year. I think it was the green, or I can't remember.
Yeah,
which
green,
one.
Green, yes, yeah.
Yeah, that green color. You know, mm-hmm. and it's they do it every year. Just try to generate some more yeah. interest in the iPhone. You know, it's kind of stagnant right now because yeah, you know, it's been 6 months. Most of the people who are like early adopters, like many of us are here. Well, not Ben maybe, or but
yeah. early adapters and the Christmas buyers.
And the Christmas buyers, yeah. So that's really what it does. And mm-hmm. they come up on another color that's interesting.
Yeah, and this is the push for the next, whatever, 3-4 months. And then we're getting into yep. the September territory anyway, where there will be no new phones. So yeah, it makes sense. As I said, I've always wondered like who buys them and how much of a boost that is, but
yeah,
it's as I said, it seems to be enough that Apple keeps doing it.
In addition, the Plus, the 14 Plus has not sold very well at all.
Mm.
I mean, the 14 maybe a little bit probably sells better than the 14 Plus, and to generate some interest in those two models is a key as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do have to say I am so surprised they picked a color. That the Pro models are completely left out of.
Well, they've done that.
The Pro model doesn't have colors.
Yeah, it's always like the set colors. Yeah.
It's gray.
Well, we got the purple, like Unite.
It's,
like,
no, Unite, it's even purple is kind of just a different shade of gray. It's like seven shades of gray. That's what the Pro iPhones are.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Yep, my 2012 is blue, but... even that blue, which I think is a nice blue, a lot of people think is gray at first.
Yeah,
you I mean your 2022?
Look at your purple iPhone; it's really hard to tell it's purple.
what year is 12. My iPhone? My iPhone 12. Holy crap!
Slight difference.
So, Patrice, are you saying that iPhone colors are a sequel to 50 Shades of Gray?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to establish that. I am curious. Whenever this discussion comes up, though, I want to ask the panel, how many people here use their iPhones without a case?
Well, I do have a case, but it's clear.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
my case is clear.
Okay. So now that's really interesting. Okay. So we have three clear cases. So then to you too, Ben? Four?
Yeah.
I'm the only one that. Oh, never mind. I'm always.
Well, okay, Chuck. I'll add a little color to this, if you will. So my what do I have, Ben? What phone do I have? iPhone 12 Pro.
12.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's the first not gray, dark gray, blackish color iPhone I've ever had, and so this one I put a clear case on. All of my other iPhones, I would put a colored case on.
Okay.
So I was actually hiding that dark gray color, even though I loved the color. But yeah, it'd be like a blue case a lot.
Yeah, By the way, it's only four shades I had to check. It's not seven. It's even less.
I think it's really interesting that, you know, so much attention is paid to this. And I mean, I buy a dark phone, whether it's a, you know, space gray or space black or, you know, whatever, just because I always figured that's going to be the easiest one to get, that'll be the one they make the most of, because it seems to be one of the most popular sellers. And yet I saw something, or I guess it was earlier this week when they were talking about the yellow, that the dispersion is a lot wider than I would have thought. So
yeah, I mean, Christina Warren and me keep saying on social media, give us a pink iPhone.
Oh, well
done. Yeah, I want that. Yeah. No, I've wanted that for forever. I mean, since they dropped the rose gold, which was probably the closest to pink that you could get.
They would sell the crap out of a pink iPhone. Oh, and yeah. And I'm not saying that in a joking way. I mean, seriously.
No. Yeah.
A pink mm-hmm. iPhone would sell really well around the world.
Well, not. Yeah. And I mean, there's so many reasons, you know, right off the bat, I can think of breast cancer awareness. those people would go crazy if you did, you know, a pink iPhone. But now Bob Beach is an interesting case. He says, I take my case off at home, put it on when I go out. That's, I've never heard that, Bob. That's really interesting.
Oh, for me, I'm as apt to drop it in my house as I am outside.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've probably dropped it more in my house than outside.
Yeah.
Cases cases and cheap glass screen protectors have saved my life.
Agreed. Yeah, I can see that. Yep. I have hardwood floors throughout my entire place.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been more than one occasion where my cat has decided that my phone is far too high, needs to leave the table, or like it'll start ringing. It's weird. I actually get phone calls sometimes, and I've watched my phone vibrate across the table and right off onto the floor.
That's so, gotta be no
fun. Are you sure it wasn't the office manager saying, nope, Jeff's not reachable right now?
Oh, that has definitely happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has screened calls for me.
Patrice, it was the office manager in the other room on another phone dialing it to make it vibrate off.
Oh.
And laughing. Yeah. Little cat paws up to her mouth while she's going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. But Bob Beach is saying that he likes to see the, and I will now read verbatim, full, beautiful design when I'm using my iPhone at home. And I totally get it. It's a great design. And the iPhone out of the case feels really nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every time I do take mine out of the case, like I'm cleaning phone or whatever, I just hold it in my hand for a minute and marvel at how nice it feels.
Agreed.
Yep. So anyhow, yellow.
Ooh.
It's a thing, and it's going to sell well.
Yeah,
sure. Okay. So next thing, which I'm assuming everyone's talking about on every show, the Apple Classical Music app is coming at the end of March. And you can... I don't want to say pre-order the app because
that's what they call it.
That, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That's what they're calling it, which to me is weird. It's really sign up to get a notification so that as soon as it's available on the App Store, you can download it. And it's a free download. And
it's not weird. I mean, it's kind of what Apple has been doing for years. I'm not sure they've ever done it for an Apple app. But they've been doing it for years for like games and other stuff. I mean, you can, like, any developer can do that these days.
Okay, that's a good point.
I didn't know that, Patrice, because I'm not a gamer. That's very interesting.
You might remember many, many years ago, it was some Mario game where they first introduced that. Many years ago. They had that. They were on stage at the Apple event and everything.
Yeah, it was the what did they call it? Mario Runner or something?
I don't remember. But yes, it was a long time ago.
They announced it during keynote and said, and you can pre-order it now. And we all pulled out our phones and did it right then. Yeah, I forgot about that.
5, 6, 7 years ago, like a long time. And it was in the beginning, it was limited and only, I think, a couple of... like special developers could do that. But since then, like a couple of years ago, I think they opened that up to everybody. And now, I mean, I can do that. Most developers don't because why? But you can.
Yeah, the why part to me is all about publicity.
Oh yeah, Mark. I mean, if you're a bigger company and you have like a marketing team behind it and you're planning a big marketing push, maybe even put out ads in newspapers and all of that, then it makes sense to do that. For small indie developers, usually it's like, okay, put it out there. When it's done, put it out there, don't wait.
All right, so did Apple do this to drive up interest in the classical music service, or because this has been dragging out for so long, they needed to do something to get people to stop complaining about why is this not here?
Or both? Option both, and there's probably even a third reason. The downside of bundling apps with your operating system is you can only update them with your operating system. And I think also with all the regulatory scrutiny that they're under right now, I think they're trying to like decouple things and say, hey, like, it's not pre-installed, but you can get it.
Okay, that actually makes sense. Keep it outside of the music app proper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what their plan was.
Yeah. They want to keep the service. And I knew they were planning on doing that. This Patrice's reasoning actually does make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And I also feel like, Jeff, I'm not the only thing I'm not sure I buy is that they have needed to do something for so long that they're, you know, at this point, it's only a couple weeks. You know, so what? If they had announced this back in January and said, "Oh, it's coming March 28th," okay, great. You know, then, but just to after all this time, for just a couple of weeks, I mean, maybe that factored in a little bit, but I'm not.
No, they said they would release it. I think summer last year, something like that.
You mean they said last summer that they would release it?
No, they said when they acquired the company behind that and shut down the service, that whatever that was called before, I don't remember. They said that they would have it by summer, I think summer 2022. So that's why people are saying it's so late. It's not a couple of weeks. It's like 6-7 months.
No, but I mean the announcement that, you know, we now get the announcement. It's only a couple of weeks from now. And so at this point, I knew it's late. I didn't know it was quite that late. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what difference does a couple more weeks make? They just want to, you know, all the other reasons, I think, rise to the top.
They bought Primephonic.
Primephonic. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, for Apple, I mean, maybe there's another reason. Maybe they have something else planned around it that we don't know about. It's always possible, but I mean, I'm guessing it's a marketing thing.
I'm assuming it's a marketing thing. Yeah.
Many of the articles, and we covered this pretty extensively in Touch with iOS here. Many of the articles were talking about the fact that Apple really wanted to keep it separate. They wanted to have a separate experience because people who listen to classical music are quite the aficionados. They want to have their catalog. That's what Primephonic was. It was a separate app. So I think I'm thinking their thoughts were, let's keep it separate. It's still part of your Apple Music subscription, but you can access all the classical music in one place instead of having to dig through Apple Music to try to find it.
And it's a different search and all of that. It gets really complicated when you have to search differently and to kind of shoehorn that into the existing app. Makes sense. I mean, that part makes sense. I mean, the question was, why did they announce it now and then only release it in a couple of weeks? And I mean, as I said, it could just be marketing that they're saying, hey, we want to drum up some excitement about it, and then it will come out in whatever, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or it could be that they have something we don't know. I mean, it is the time of the year where there would be, and I got like in my OneDrive and my memories, I got like photos from past years about Apple events around this time. And it is possible that they have an event planned or something, or some press release or something else planned that kind of goes together with that. And that's why they pushed it out, to get that all kind of packaged up. Like, get it out there, get people excited, get people talking about it, and then they will have another push in 2 weeks, maybe.
And that's a good point, too, because all they did was release the app, and the press grabbed on that immediately. They saw it was in the
They didn't even put out a newsroom release, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. No news release at all. That's the first place I went was the newsroom. I'm like, wait.
Yeah, me too.
There's nothing there. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, because I remember getting the notification of that the app is going to be available. So that was very interesting. I had not seen them do that.
Yeah. I'm going to toss out a crazy idea that I just came up with. And Patrice is already like, I'm glad I'm sitting down. Apple did the announcement now? Because Chuck, you're right. What difference would a couple more weeks make? But What if they did it now? Because at the same time that the app becomes available, they introduce a new pair of AirPods Max that has high def audio support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That now you're talking. Sense. Now you're talking. Yeah.
But we would have heard that through the rumor mill if that was the case.
I'm assuming so. Hence, absolutely crazy out there idea.
Yeah.
But I like it.
I'm not so sure we would have heard it. I mean, stuff like that, especially accessories, are, I think, easier to control to some extent. They're not as complex. They're not as long to produce. They don't take as long. So
yeah,
it is possible that they're going to surprise us.
Here's going to be my really crackpot theory on that.
Mm-hmm.
What if Apple were to release a new ultra wideband set of headphones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beyond the U1?
Yeah. Because technically.
Oh, you too. Do you get a free album with it?
Yes.
I certainly hope so. Ouch.
Yep. And you get to go to a place called Vertigo.
Yes. Hey, Ben, to go along with what you're saying, in the chat room, Bob Beach is saying that he's annoyed that that AirPods Max don't do the high-res audio, considering how much he paid for them.
Well, that was less a what Apple wanted opposed to what technology was available when those were released.
We had this debate though on Mac Voices. I think they don't. I think they do support the high res audio, but it's only if you have them wired.
No, yes. You can't. No. We had that. Yes, we did have the discussion, and we figured out that the wire doesn't do anything. No, it doesn't work.
Okay.
We had that discussion, and I think we talked about the two-sided. What was it? The two-sided lightning cable or something strange.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't. I think Jim figured out it doesn't work.
But they, there's no reason why they couldn't do a new version that, or even a new cable that has a higher quality DAC built in. And then you could have wired with your current headphones. But now you do have to pay for the new cable.
Yeah.
Yep. Which then brings up the next thing, which is DACs. Because my guess is that there's a lot of people that are really into the classical music, but they don't understand that the DAC that's built into their iPhone does not support the high-res music. And for that, you do need to... excuse me, you do need to get something else.
Yeah,
and
you need like a set of these.
Yeah. Holy crap! How do you hold your head up with those on?
What are those?
These are a very high end set of blue headphones.
Those are pretty
before hard. Logitech bought them.
No, I was thinking more thought, like my iFi that I my portable DAC that I have for my iPhone and iPad, mm-hmm. or at my desk my shit Modi 3 Plus. Totally makes a difference. Bob Beach is saying iPhone does support 96 kilohertz, which is true. But if you want the real high-res audio, you need to go above the 96 kilohertz. And for that, you need to have a different DAC. And depending on your headphones, you can hear the difference.
Oh, yes, you can.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's, like, stunning, the difference. Yeah.
Funny that Ben and I were having the same Star Trek association.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The Dax.
Yeah. On a side note, I do like that that in Star Trek Picard, we have seen a few Trill.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if they're hosts, but we've definitely seen some Trill.
Yeah, and also in Discovery, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I really like how they start diving into Trill culture in Discovery. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. Yeah. All right. We should talk about another story as long as we're here. And just so everyone knows, the stories we've discussed so far, these have all come from Dave's show notes for In Touch with iOS. So, Dave, thank you. This one I found this morning. And this is one. Okay, Ming-Chi Kuo, new HomePod with a 7-inch screen coming in early 2024. And that's this week's show. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
It's kind of sketchy. I think it's something I think is due. I just don't know where Apple wants to go with, you know, what Amazon's already doing and what Google is already doing with those type of small screen devices. There is a market for it. I just don't know if Apple is the market for it.
I'm not even sure Apple knows what they want to do with it.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
They know it's there. I mean, the HomePod line is, they're trying to get activity with it, obviously, by bringing back the second gen HomePod. So why not get some more traction by having a product with a screen built into it? I mean, they've done that in the past, and then they've had some successes, and they've had their fair amount of failures too with those types of products. So I think it's possible. I mean, you know, Ming-Chi Kuo is usually pretty good with his predictions. When I hear Gurman talk about it, then maybe we'll talk.
Dave, you have more faith in Ming-Chi Kuo's analysis than I do.
Yeah.
Here's my take on his reports. There's a grain of truth in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But his interpretation may not be correct.
Yeah.
And I'm certain that Apple has various HomePod and Siri devices in their labs with displays. Doesn't mean they're ever coming out, but I mean they exist, and they may have even been doing short run production to do additional testing, and maybe that's what he heard about. Mm. But still, it's I'm with you on Gurman. When Gurman starts talking about it, then I'm like, okay, yep. Now it's a thing.
His track record, so much better.
Yeah. I mean, Ming-Chi Kuo has supply chain sources.
Right.
Gurman has sources.
Sources.
Right? I mean, there's a big difference between that supply chain and internal sources. That newsletter is very popular.
People's eyeballs are on that every week.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I'm looking at the link Jeff put in the show notes and the mock-ups of, you know, what this could be. And I mean, is this anything to get excited about? And I'm the first one to say that I'm not sure I'm the market for this, even though I love my HomePods. But, you know, I look at a HomePod, and the HomePod isn't, my HomePods are not necessarily sitting somewhere where I have easy access to them to go over and look down on top of them to see this proposed screen. And so, you know, I mean, okay, would it be cool to be able to walk over and say, oh, what's playing? Yeah, but I can ask the S lady what's playing now to find out. And so,
or just look at your iPhone screen. Well, exactly. It's going to show you what's playing on your HomePod.
Yes and no. I mean, that it would require that Apple does more with the software. But I could see things like, I don't know, I was just thinking about that. You get up in the morning and it shows you your schedule for the morning, or you're in the bathroom and like getting ready and you look at news or like stuff like that. And yes, technically you could do all of that with your iPhone, but my iPhone is usually, especially in the morning, somewhere still on my bed or something, and while I'm running around. In the kitchen, like looking at recipes. Like it would require way more on the software side, but I think it has a benefit over the like just asking Siri that, like, if you ask Siri about your schedule, either she's going to talk for the next 10 minutes, or she's only going to tell you the next thing, which neither of which are particularly useful. But if you could just have a glance and say, okay, whatever, then at the first meeting is at 9, and then I have a 9:30, a 9:45, whatever, like, you can just at a glance see what's happening, that's way more powerful.
Yeah, and actually, I do completely agree with something Bob Beach is saying there, which kind of leads me to what I would want in the space. Give me some kind of lifestyle doc or a redesigned lower price version of the iPod mini.
Well, and who's to say that that's not what it is? Like, I mean, yeah. We don't know if this is an integrated display or something where you like a dock for your iPad, for example, or for a iPad of some sort.
Yeah.
But the only place you can put a screen on a HomePod is going to affect the playback in the direction where that screen is on the side. If you put it on top, it doesn't affect anything, but it also is not easy. I mean, right now, if Patrice, everything you just said, I think you'd be much better suited with an iPod and, excuse me, an iPad mini to take with you to the bathroom or take with you to the kitchen or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that if you've got a bigger screen, so it's easier to see, and it's not.
But
tied,
you have to take it. You have to take it with you. It is not there. Like, well, like if just, I'm like I leave, like, I mean, I could take my phone with me. I leave it, like, I get up and I don't think about it. And I go to the bathroom. And then in the bathroom, I'm like, like, what does my schedule look like? And having the ability to not having to walk back and get the device or ask and get a 10-minute answer, I think is a benefit. Yeah, sure. I mean, I can today, like, take my iPad and I do that. I take my iPad in the kitchen, put the recipe up and look at it. Sure, I can do that.
Yeah,
but it is an iPad in the kitchen that I have to take there.
But I mean, so are we talking about a device that's dedicated, that is a static device, like a HomePod, but instead...
I would think so.
I just feel like this would detract from the principal function of the HomePod, which in my mind is music, is high-quality music. So
maybe not.
It could be a combination thereof. I mean, it's going to have the good speaker. I mean... I like having the Google Home device that I have next to me here. It's on a small screen. I'm sitting here. I want to have something separate from what I'm doing on my computer. You know, the Amazon Echo Show is another one that's they came out with a very low priced one for someone who just wants a simple tiny little screen. That's
I great have one of those kitchen. On my desk right now.
Yeah, so do I. So it's a small little screen, but it's something that's just gives you a little bit of interaction and keeps it separate from what you're doing on
shows
your,
you the time
on computer
or,
time and then you can ask the A lady to do something or whatever and I kind of like it. I mean, even the Google one I like too, is I want to watch something on YouTube and have it separate from what I'm doing on my screen here, and why not? It's okay. But no, it's your point, Chuck. You're right, because what is the audio quality going to be good? Because of these two devices I just described, the audio quality's okay, it's nothing great. Where Apple definitely would want this HomePod device to be, you know, high fidelity, you know, probably spatial audio type of device with the screen. So that's where I think where is that going to go, and you know where the market is for that.
Yeah, well, Bob Beach says, you know, I like my Echo Show 8, but not for music. And Bob, that's exactly my point. You know,
exactly.
Because I too have an one of the Amazon devices that has a screen. And, you know, it's great for that, but it is not a speaker that I want to listen to with music on. Now, if somehow they took, and again, I'm looking at the 9 to 5 Mac illustration, if they took that panel and it could flip up so that, Patrice, to your point, you know, you could look over and see it. Okay, now I'm starting to feel better about it because I don't feel like it's compromising the music, the music capabilities or the audio capabilities, but it would enhance the information aspect of it.
But I mean, just think about it. You could take an HomePod mini, cut it in half, and put a screen in the middle. And I think audio quality wise, it would still be fine. You could probably even do the same thing with a HomePod.
You're going to lose.
I think you can figure that out.
You're going to lose the sound where the face is. I mean, to cut it, Patrice, that means that the back, all the sound is going to come out of the back.
No, because if you, it's kind of like a little stereo speaker. Like you have two speakers right and left of the display. I think that could still work.
Okay.
Bob Beach dropped a link in the chat to a Mac Rumors article that has a different mock-up, which matches what Patrice is describing.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that came late last night. We didn't get to cover this.
Yeah.
That looks better. I'm still questioning, though, because that's the screen is going to be facing me and the speaker, the principal speaker is not.
This design is kind of wonky because, you can't tilt it. And unless there's some way of internally tilting the screen, you don't want it to have it just one angle.
Well, that's a good point, Dave. Yeah.
I'm not too sure about that. It could work.
Amazon addresses that issue with the Echo Show by selling you a separate base.
Right.
Don't forget that Apple is selling things that you can't tilt or very limited.
Mm-hmm. So that's true.
Ergonomics, not always Apple's priority, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the studio display. It's got that, you can get the stand, but there's also, it's funny. I just ordered one of those. I ordered one of those studio displays. You have to order it special with the Visa mount on it. In the case of this, to mount it on an arm that a lot of people would probably do these days, or you order it with the standard stand that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to change later, then you got to bring it to the Apple store and let them switch it out because you can't do it.
Yeah, as I said, like Apple has a lot of devices that have very limited options in ergonomics. Yep. So I wouldn't put it past Apple that there is literally one angle and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. Remember, this is the company that took the curved edge off of the MacBook Pro. So when you lay your hands up on the keyboard, you now have a sharp edge cutting into your wrists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did not get it right with that. But you know who did get it right? TSO hosts. They totally got it right for web hosting and streaming and helping people buy domain names. And they even went so far as to help us out with that too. What TSO host is doing is giving us the bandwidth we need so we can stream content like this shows live to you every single week. And they're also giving us the hosting space we need. So there's a place for the website to live and for all of the recordings to live. So you can watch or listen to shows at your leisure. And with the resources that it takes to do all of this is beyond what we would be able to manage on our own. So they're being incredibly generous by giving us those things so we can do what we do. Without TSO host here to help us, I feel very comfortable saying we just wouldn't be here. So we really appreciate what TSO host is doing. Now, what they're asking of us is so easy. Just go give them some online love. Let them know on your favorite social media platform that you appreciate that they are here helping out the British Tech Network. And that's it. But still, let's say you're ready to buy a domain name and host a website. Check them out for that, because this is what they do and they do it really well. And they make it easy for you to get that domain name and get your website set up. So what you do is get all that stuff in your cart and then add the discount code BTN20. And they're going to give you 20% off your order. So not only are they being incredibly generous by helping us out, because you're a BTN fan, they're giving you a nice discount as well. So thank you, TSO host, for being here supporting the British Tech Network. And Patrice, we've been really active in the chat today. Where can people find that?
Yeah, we have an awesome live chat where we not only post all the stories and the cool things we're like we're talking about, but also other relevant links. And we have awesome people in there who are like talking to us and interacting with us. So if you want to do that, which you can do every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac Show, it's our live recording time. Also, by the way, Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. If you're into the non-Apple side of technology, like whatever that is, gaming, space, cars, whatever comes to mind. And then you head over to chat.projecttechnetwork.com and you're in. It's that easy. It's nothing to it. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form of a podcast in your favorite podcast player of choice. Then, I mean, you can't do the live chat because, well, that's not how it works unless you have invented some kind of wormhole, time travel, whatever. But you can still get at least to all the links and you can see what was talked about because we have a really cool chat transcript. And in order to get to that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then you select today's date. This little calendar pops up. You will select today's date. Today, as we're recording this, by the way, which is the 10th of March, 2023, March 10th, 2023. And then you can see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. Makes my life so much less stressful. I know it's a stupid thing for me to get stressed about doing. Yet here we are.
Yeah, and I don't have to feed people cues.
Right? Right? It's a team effort, Ben. We all pull through together. Hey, it is time for some cool things. So who has the first cool thing? And that would be Patrice.
I was fastest. Okay. So my cool thing today is something that we've talked about on this show before and that I think I mentioned that I ordered a couple of weeks ago. The M2 Mac Mini. Really awesome device. I got one as a kind of home server type thing, connected an external drive enclosure to it, a RAID setup. And I'm running a bunch of stuff on that. And it's really like, it's awesome. I mean, what can you say? It's an M2. Works really well. The CPU is still very much bored, despite the fact that I'm running a lot of things on there. And yeah, it's great. And it wasn't expensive. Like I didn't get the Pro because I didn't need it. The M2 Pro, I looked at it and I'm like, I don't need, like it has two CPU cores more. I don't need that. It has a bunch of GPU cores. I don't even have a display connected. So why would I need that?
Right.
And I'm not doing anything graphic processing where the graphics card would benefit from it, or the software would benefit from the graphics card. So I'm like, okay, don't need that. Save some money on that. I think I spent like $1,600 or something for that. M2 Pro, 32 gigs of storage, terabyte of hard drive. Great machine, nice packaging, like everything you would expect. Runs. Not had an issue since. Just runs.
That's awesome.
So, go get one. You cannot, I mean, if you want a desktop or like if you want a server, like a Mac server at home, and you don't want to spend something crazy, like get a Mac Pro, go for the Mac Mini.
Yep, I've got the M1. It's a great machine too.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I didn't still have a regular need to have my computer somewhere else on my desk, when I upgraded from my Intel MacBook Pro, I would have gone with an M2 Mac Mini.
Yeah, I mean, like I have a M1 MacBook Pro, and I'm very happy that I have it. And that's my daily driver, and I'm doing like everything with it, including right now this show. So it's for me more a server. But if you don't like, if you never go anywhere and you don't need to take your laptop, your computer, call it that, anywhere, then a Mini is more than excellent.
I agree.
They're by far my favorite desktop that's produced right now.
No question.
Yep. Cool. All right, Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a group of youth gone wild called Skid Row. Over the years, it put out a lot of great music, and then they had a little bit of a spat with their lead singer.
As one does.
Typical.
And they brought in some other lead singers, had a couple good albums, but just couldn't meet the magic of the stuff they had with Sebastian Bach. Well, this last fall, they released a brand new album called The Gang's All Here. Why they did not reunite with Bach, their new lead singer, Eric Gronstahl, can do all the Bach things. It's really nice. The first album, I think, that has felt completely like Skid Row since Subhuman Race.
Nice. Okay.
Ben, I will second that. It felt like the magic just was not there. But yeah. I was skeptical when I saw this album come out. It's like, okay, I'll listen and see. And it's very, very good.
Yeah.
And it's on Apple Music.
Yep. Yeah.
Nice.
And your other music players of choice.
Yes.
You can even buy it.
Just like old times. Yep.
That's it. Cool. Come on, mini disc.
Not that old.
Oh man.
Mini disc or GTFO. Yeah. I'm holding out for the high fidelity 8-track.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I'll just pull out the 78s again, get some more high fidelity with those.
Right. Yep. Awesome. Okay. Dave, tell us about your cool thing.
Yeah, this is a little app I just discovered. It's called Hand Mirror. It's a one-click camera check for you to be able to check, make sure you look okay, you didn't have any smudges on your face or any of that kind of stuff. It lives in the menu bar. So when you click it before you join any conferences like Zoom, I can do that. And people ask, oh, why should you use, maybe you should use Photo Booth instead. Well, this is a one-click way of checking. I mean, obviously you can go into Zoom and check it beforehand before you join. But why would you want to do that when you got this little guy? And it's it is free with some benefits, but you want to support the developer. But it's pretty cool. The Plus series adds things like you can do alternate icons up at the top here, and you can change the icon of the app and make it look kind of fun. And it does have a notch trigger where if you're using your Mac, and it'll click the area behind it to show you what it's going to look like, things like that. But it is free, and you can go into the App Store, and you can also support the developer by adding some of these other cool features it has. But the most important thing is it's in Zed App, so it's included.
Nice. Okay. I saw this in Zed App and didn't give it much thought.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually really look at what it was doing. But now, okay, I get it. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, I'm clicking the little button. It's up in my task, the title bar, and I can see myself and make sure it looks good. And you can you can toggle between different cameras right from there too.
Very cool. Awesome.
Very nice. I just got it from the App Store, and then you said it's in Zed App. I'm like, oh,
I guess I'm going to switch over.
That's awesome. Cool.
That's cool.
All right. Chuck, tell us about your cool thing. And I will preface this with, you did not cost me money, because I've been using this for a while.
Well, you're the one that got me hooked on this.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, yeah, and I thought you were crazy, but my pick is something, I think it's been picked before here, but I'm going to pick it again, and I'll tell you why. And that is, get these rollerblade casters for your office chair.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got them because of you.
Yeah.
Yep. You're going to think I'm crazy, just like I thought Jeff was crazy. Ever. But they are phenomenal. When my job changed and I moved home back in January, this was the first thing I brought an office chair from home. Or excuse me, from the office, because the office was closing down. And this is the first thing I put on them. no question, this is just money that's going to be spent because it has to be upgraded. Recently, I have infected two more people that had exactly the same reaction that, you know, that I did when Jeff told me about them. It's like, are you out of your mind? You know, what difference can these make? They make a huge difference.
It's like getting a chair upgrade.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you can abandon, unless you really love it, you can abandon your chair mat. These don't scratch hardwood floors, so you don't need anything to protect them. You can do it. Yeah. They're very effective on carpet. I mean, there is no reason not to get these. And changing the casters out on your chair is nothing. It's a 3-minute operation, 5-minute maybe at most. Yeah. So,
even better. Your coat doesn't get caught in these.
Oh, my God. My backpack. I got to buy these for my work chair. Now I think about it. My backpack loop, because I have it sitting on the floor behind me, it gets caught in the damn thing all the time.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about it. I'm buying another set of this for my work chair.
Yeah. These are just, I mean, it is some of the best money you will ever spend. The link we put in the show notes is from Amazon. If you have any doubt, buy them from Amazon. You can return them. I promise you, you will not.
You're not returning them.
You are not returning these.
No.
Because that was my intent. Is okay, I'll get Jeff off my back. I'll try them and send them back. And it's like, no.
You bought these to shut me up.
Well, just because, you know, look, I value your opinion on everything. This one was a little shaky, but you just reinforced my faith in you on all matters.
I might lead you astray, but not on stuff like this.
I mean, seriously, chairs should just come with these. Get rid of those old crappy casters for good.
Those casters are horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree completely. Yeah.
100%.
I bought another set for my work chair. I didn't even think about that. Thank you, Ben.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I know I said a set to my sister and another set for a coworker. And when she gave them to him, he was like, what are these? You know, this is one more thing for me to have to do. Are you out of your mind? Next thing, the story goes, the next thing, he's shooting himself around the office because it's a carpeted office. He took it back to the lunchroom, where there's a tile floor so you can see how they work.
Oh, my God.
It is. I mean, they're just phenomenal.
Chuck, if you want to take that experience to the next level, get a good quality glass chair mat. Doesn't matter if you have or what type of floor you have. Like, I'm on a hardwood floor and I've been using a glass mat for longer than I've been using these rollerblade casters, and the glass mat makes a big difference. But then the glass mat with the casters,
Jeff, the only thing, and maybe you can clue me in, you have a hardwood floor. I have a rug down in this office, and the chair mat that I have does not have any of the little nubbies to hold it in place. Mm-hmm. And so it moves around. I would think a glass mat would do that even more so, would it not?
Well, glass mat weighs a lot more. Mm-hmm. I did have to push my glass mat back in place a little bit every now and then when I was on carpeting. But it wasn't a big deal and the trade-off was worth it. I have to do that on a hardwood floor with my glass mat too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, every week or so I look and my glass mat is like shifted like this much. And so I just nudge it back where it goes. And but holy crap.
I don't know.
It's amazing. I know you're saying I don't know, but you said the same thing about the casters.
I did. Well, look, I'm a little afraid for safety reasons because even with this the way it is now, I mean, if I'm not careful, I'll just shoot myself through that back wall. And so,
you do have to be careful. I mean, if I wanted to, I could basically eject myself from here with a gentle push and crash through the books and everything else that's behind me. Yep. Jeff, see, that's there goes Dave.
Jeff, that's why I got the locking ones.
Oh, clever. See, I move around enough all the time. The locking ones I would end up not using the lock.
Yeah. Exactly. I actually like that I can just move around a little bit without.
So next week's pick will be a crash helmet because I got the glass mat.
Yes. Yes.
One of those protecting suits.
Good pitch.
Yeah, good pick. I feel bad because how do I follow something that good? Actually, everything's been really good today. Okay, but I will try.
With Legos?
No, but that Rivendell set, that looks really nice. No, I'm actually going to go with a TV series. This is on Netflix, and I stumbled across it several days ago when I was like at that peak of super sick from the sinus and upper respiratory infection I was fighting. And I was just kind of laying on the couch, and I discovered on Netflix a Nick Cage series called The History of Swear Words. And it's five episodes. Hold on.
It's five or six. Yeah,
it's five. No, it's I'm pretty sure it's five. Hold on.
It's six.
Is it?
Yeah. FSBDPNND.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Anyhow,
you got the Sarah Silverman on one of the episodes. That's gonna be hilarious.
She's on several.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they got Nicolas Cage to host a documentary series, and each episode is between 20 and 30 minutes. And it's funny in the chat room, Bob Beach is giving me a FFS and confirming it six. The funny thing is I was counting the words on my hand, but I couldn't say them out loud. And so it was screwing me up. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so each episode is a different swear word. And they go into the history, the etymology, the social use and implications of the words, how usage has changed, and it's actually a really fascinating and at the same time really fun show. And I don't know if they'll do any more episodes, but
yeah, it's been 2 years.
Oh, so this is 2 years old. I didn't even realize that. Okay. So then there's no more coming. It's just the six episodes and that's it. And,
you think they would have done seven. That's just to honor George Carlin and have his seven words you can't say on television, you know?
Well, yeah, you'd think, well, there's one word from George's list that they didn't do.
Yeah, 20 win. I know what you mean.
Yeah, although the word does come up every now and then in the series.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so you get all these comedians that are telling you how they've used the word, how it's impacted them, and then Nicolas Cage is doing the narration for the whole series, and
I gotta watch this. It's gonna be hilarious.
It's mm-hmm. It's hilarious. And it's also fascinating. Huh. Yeah. Oh, the B word. That's the one that I was forgetting about when I was mouthing them to myself. Yeah. Yep. That's why I kept coming up with five.
That wasn't one of his words, though.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Anyway.
History of Swear Words. Six episodes. Nice less than 30 minutes each. And it's awesome. All right. So with that, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the projects, the podcasts, the like social media links where you can find me, all of that, you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you're into Mastodon and you're either looking for a new instance or would consider switching, or you haven't joined Mastodon yet, head over to techhangout.social, which is my own Mastodon instance, and you can be part of our little community.
Awesome. And Patrice, thanks again for covering for me yesterday. You rock.
Yeah, no worries. That was fun.
It's always fun. Yeah.
It is.
Hey, Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at InTouchWithIOS, InTouchWithIOS.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/InTouchWithIOS. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night. It's 8 p.m. Eastern. And I'm also on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.cloud. I'm still over on Twitter, too, and at DaveG65. And thanks as always.
Yeah. And thanks again. I know I say this all the time, but I say it because I mean it. Thanks again for letting me crib from your show notes from In Touch with iOS.
Absolute pleasure. No problem.
Ben, when you're not just being gloriously awesome, where can people find you?
Well, first you can find me on my completely awesome office chair with its locking roller casters.
Nice.
Being very comfortable during these kinds of shows. You can also find me on your social media of choice at Ben Rathig. And my permanently interim website of rathigtech.blogspot.com.
We know all about permanently interim here.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
It's the Apple way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
The way.
Yeah.
So say we all.
This is why I love every single one of you. Speaking of love, Chuck, where can people find you?
Oh, thank you, Jeff. MacVoices.com is where you'll see everything I'm doing. We're playing a little bit of catch up, and it seems like we have trouble catching up with all the Mac Voices live shows. But that way, the folks can get to see them if they aren't able to join us on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are on youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And of course, we also have dedicated then shows that are just on the feed. So check it all out. And on any of the socials, including Mastodon, I'm at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. All right. I guess it means it's my turn. All right. So on the social, same J Gamut, pretty much everywhere. I'm most active on Instagram and Mastodon. If you follow me on Twitter, yes, you see stuff posting, but it's because, as far as I know, the API that's letting me use if this and that to cross post from Instagram to Twitter hasn't died yet, much to my surprise. When it does, well, then that'll be kind of
unlike Twitter.
Right? Oh my God. Anyhow,
Twitter will be dying before the API.
Which is so weird because they already said it was supposed to be dead. But regardless, anyhow, Mastodon and Instagram. Go find me there. All right. Then most Tuesdays on Chuck's show, Mac Voices Live. Then on Thursdays on The Big Show, and then most Thursday evenings on Dave's show, In Touch with iOS, and then here on The Mac Show. And then also, Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And thank you. Patrice, the shout out that I gave you was not planned, but it seemed totally appropriate in the moment.
I was very happy when I heard it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, well, what I'm hoping is that more people go check out Foodie Flashback now. Mm-hmm. It's all about the processes, people. And to understand that, you need to go and listen to The Context Machine. The episode where we talk about Brian's espresso machine. Oh. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyhow, hey, thank you, all of you, for being here. You are awesome. And I'm just so genuinely so happy that I get to spend my Friday mornings with you. This is just a wonderful way to kick off the weekend. And I really look forward to doing this every single week. So thank you for that. Every one of you that is here watching or listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here. And thank you for being part of the show. You are all awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love, please. They deserve it. And hey, Mueller, thanks for making sure we have people for the shows. Ewan, thank you just for being you. And that's it. So join us next Thursday for the big show, and then again on Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.